All right. Are you excited about some of the things happening around here? Let me just say it was just a thrill to see Matt up there on the screen doing our announcements. Matt is actually fairly new to Cross Point, and he's just came in, jumped right on the growth track. What he was just talking about went all the way through. All it is just four Sundays, y'all. And he just a great example of somebody just went through, jumped on the dream team, is now serving, and now just here now ministering. And that's as easy as it happens. And what a great example of just how we hope that would work for you as well. In fact, Matt went with us to Birmingham, Alabama this week, where we went to Church of the Highlands and a place called Leadership Intensive, where we learned some leadership concept. God's just raising up leaders, and so excited about what God is doing around here, and just want to give a shout out to him. That was so encouraging to see that. We're actually in a series, part four, the conclusion of this four-part series that we've called Unstoppable. I'll get through it. I got water here today. Okay, all right. Unstoppable, and so we've talked about how that we're to be in unstoppable unity, and we talked about an unstoppable family, and we've talked about unstoppable pursuit last week. This week we're going to talk about this thing of unstoppable influence. And when I think about being unstoppable, you've got to think about Jesus when you think of that term unstoppable. Jesus was one that was unstoppable. But the fact of the matter is, as we connect with Jesus and we identify ourselves with Jesus, we are in Christ and Christ lives inside of us, we too in Christ are unstoppable through his power. And so I want us to understand that this morning, that we are an unstoppable people. And God is giving us unstoppable influence. And I believe that's what God desires for each one of us, that we are having a life of unstoppable influence. Because the fact of the matter is, every person in this room has an unstoppable purpose. We have an unstoppable purpose, and we're placed here to make a difference in the lives of others. All of us have a purpose, and we all have influence. I mean, I know that as we were going down the road to Alabama this week, I was driving a van. I always feel a great sense of responsibility when not just I'm driving, but I'm driving a group of other people, and I'm responsible for them. And you know, and I tried to lay back and follow the speed limit, tried to do good, made sure I wasn't texting and driving. I got caught for doing that one time on one trip, so I'm nodding at somebody who's caught me doing that. I've been doing better ever since, okay? But I was moving along. But here's the thing, when you're traveling down the road and you look up and you see the highway patrol sitting there, how many knows that they've got great influence? And what happens is, as you see them, you are making sure you're doing the speed limit. In fact, sometimes people just hit their brakes. You can see brakes hitting, and you know, okay, up there's the Smokey. He's over there in the grass. You know, he's watching you. Has great influence. I mean, great influence. Has the power to be able to cause people to hit their brake. You know, put hands at 2 and at 10 and 2 and sit up straight and look like you're doing the right thing there because of their influence. And I tell you, God has given us influence, and it's my hope that when we walk into a room, that there's some influence that comes with us because we are identified with Christ. Have you ever been in a room where somebody lets a word out they maybe shouldn't have said, and they look at you, oh, I'm sorry? Well, it's because there's some influence there. And of course, it doesn't shock me. I'm not really disturbed by that because that's just what people do. But there's some things that happen when God gives you influence, and we want to be able to have a good influence so that we can actually make a difference in other people's lives, right? And see them drawn into the presence of God and get into a close relationship with him. I want to give you a verse as we begin from Acts chapter 9 this morning. From Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It's there in your message notes. You'll find that in your worship guide. We'll also put it up here on the screen for you. Let me just set this verse up just a little bit. This is a story about a guy named Paul, who actually was very, very influential. He wrote actually 2/3 of the New Testament, but that was not always his story. Actually, his story was that his name wasn't even Paul at one time, it was Saul. And Saul was a guy very much schooled in the law and the religious law of that day. And he was actually part of the Sanhedrin. He was very, very schooled, very knowledgeable. In fact, he was very much involved in the persecution of the saints, of those that were following Christ. He spearheaded that. He actually was very much involved in the persecution of Stephen, the murder of Stephen. In fact, he was you could just say he was a murderer. And here he was actually on the road to Damascus, where he was going to mete out more violence against the Christians. But he had an encounter on the road to Damascus. And a great light shone in his path, and he was actually blinded, and he was shocked. He didn't know what this was about. And a voice came from heaven, and Saul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Why do you kick up against the pricks?" And so, to make a long story short, he had a life-changing experience. God changed his name to Paul, and he had great influence. But yet, among the Christians, he was still known as Saul. He was still known as the one who was murdering people, killing people, persecuting people, imprisoning people. And so here was him having this experience. But at the same time, God was speaking to a man called Ananias and letting him know that Paul had this life-changing experience and that he was to connect with him. And let's just pick it up here in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel.' And he said, 'I will show him how much he must suffer in my name.' And then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength." And so, what a huge call it was that came to Ananias, because Ananias knew that Paul was a murderer. And what a huge call that was. Can I tell you that we have a huge call as well? And we've been called to a place of influence to those around us. Now, here again was this guy that had a reputation of being a persecutor of the Christians. And at first, Ananias, we're going to talk about this as we go through this message this morning, but at first, Ananias, he was very reluctant to go and talk to this man who was known to be a murderer. And I got to tell you, there are some people that God has sent us to, and oftentimes we're reluctant, and we think, no, they're not going to receive what I'm going to say. And that's not a comfortable situation, and I'm not ready to go here, and I'm not ready to go there. But listen, God has called us with a great calling to reach out to those. My wife was showing me someone last night on Facebook. She's my Facebook connection. I'm not very much connected to it, but I'm connected through my wife. You know how that works? And so she helps keep me connected, you know, what's going on. But she had a friend that she knew from back when she was in junior high school, a little child. And now she's a grown woman, but she's just messed up. And she looks like she's messed up. From head to toe, she's just bearing, she's got all kind of issues. And she's hurting, and you see that through the post and what she's doing and the lifestyle she's living. And my wife showed me her picture, and she said, "That's who I want in our church. That's the harvest right there. That's who we need to reach." And I'm telling you, we need to have a heart that doesn't just push back, but we need to have a heart that presses in and says, "God, you've called us. Let us answer that call." Just as Ananias answered this call, we've been called to have an influence with people, and so that we may reach people. And there's many things that keep us from having influence or actually reaching out to people. I want to talk through some of those this morning that I've called influence killers, where things that are keeping us from reaching out, keeping us from having influence. Number one, and that is when we get gripped with fear. We're gripped with fear. And that's the first blank there if you're taking notes. We're gripped with fear. You know, they say the fear of speaking is one of the number one fears or phobias, the fear of public speaking. And sometimes fear will rise up in our heart when we're called to do something. Actually, several weeks ago, I heard about a guy who's now pastoring a church of over 30,000 people. And he was telling how that when he was in college, that he had to take a public speaking class. And he was scared to death. This is before he felt the call into the ministry. And he was scared to death to speak in public. In fact, he said that he failed the class. And he actually went to his professor and he begged the professor for a D just so he wouldn't have to retake the class, because he was petrified of public speaking. Well, that same guy today is now speaking to tens of thousands of people around the world, and God's given him influence. And I just got to tell you, no matter what yesterday looked like, and no matter what you think your identity is and who you are, God has called you to have influence. But there's this thing called fear oftentimes that grips our heart and keeps us from going forward. And don't you know that fear rose up in Ananias? He was not oblivious to who Paul was. He was a murderer. And he had to get past that fear. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 13. And this is what Ananias is responding to the Lord. He says, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. I mean, he was just letting the Lord know. Lord, I don't know if you know this, but this is really why he's coming, as if the Lord didn't know what was going on. But see, the same time God was working in Paul's life over here on the road to Damascus, he was speaking to Ananias, probably simultaneously, just preparing him to connect him. You see, we don't know what God's doing in somebody's heart. We don't know what God's doing in their heart and life, and we've just got to be willing to be rid of that fear and step out and believe God. This is not in your notes, but let me just add this in here. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but to trust the Lord means safety. So we're not called to fear people, but we're called to trust God and to step out and do what he's called us to do. Another influence killer is when we struggle with insecurity. And the Bible is full of accounts of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. In fact, there was a man by the name of Gideon who was called when the Midianites were pressing down and trying to destroy God's people by force. And the Lord came to Gideon and spoke to him and encouraged him to be the point man, to rise up and to be the one that caused them to defeat the Midianites. And so the word came to him this way in Judges chapter 6. He said, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon's thinking, mighty warrior? I don't think so. I'm actually hiding out, and I'm not your man. His response was, but Lord. And sometimes we're that way. But Lord? But you don't understand. There's some things going on here. Yeah, I need to explain to you. He says, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He didn't see himself as a mighty warrior. He saw himself as an insignificant nobody. But you may be here and feel like an insignificant nobody. But listen, God wants you to understand you can be secure in him. You can be secure in his call. You can be secure in the purpose that he's called you with to do what he's called you to do. You can be secure in knowing whatever he's called you to do, he's going to equip you and give you everything you need to do to fulfill the call. In fact, it's he is faithful that's called you and he to perform it and to fulfill it in you if he called you. Amen? And so we got to get past this thing of insecurity. Insecurity is always tied to identity. It's always tied to identity. And we have to know who we are in Christ first. And when we know who we are in Christ, listen, nothing can stop us. We can truly become unstoppable, because nothing can stand in the way of a man or a woman who believes what God says about them. Can I get a good amen right there? Come on, when we believe what God says about us, not what yesterday says about us, not what our family necessarily says about us, not what the naysayers may say about us, but what God says about us, if we can understand that and grab hold of that and grab hold of this thing of what God speaks over us and believe it and identify and understand we're not who yesterday said we are, we're not who our accuser says we are, but we're who God says we are, I want to tell you, we can be unstoppable. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Amen. Number three. We have influence killers that come into our life when we maintain unhealthy relationships. Unhealthy relationships. Oftentimes, the wrong people can pull us down. One person said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that's so especially true among young people. We need to be careful of who our young people are hanging around with. We need to be careful. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to make a difference in the lives of the lost, and even Jesus was a friend of sinners, and we need to be in those places, have an influence. But we need to make sure, listen, that we are connecting with those that are of like faith, and we're identifying with those that are of like faith, because if we're not careful, those people begin to influence us instead of the other way around, right? So show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So we need to make sure we're connecting with and strengthening ourselves and encouraging ourselves with others. And that's why we have small groups here. That's why we have small groups, because you need to get connected. If you're the only one that knows your secret, you're one step away from a disaster. If you're the only one that, and you're just keeping everything, that, and you're isolated, look, you need to be in relationship with other people where somebody else knows you and can speak into your life, and you can speak into their life and make a difference in their life. We need one another. That's what God's Word teaches us, that we pray for one another, that we're healed, right? And we need one another, bear one another's burdens. We are our brother's keeper. We're to care for one another. And so we need those, maintain those healthy relationships. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. So we are among others that believe, and we're meditating on God's word, and we maintain these healthy relationships. Number four, another influence killer is when we can't shake the sin. We can't shake the sin. There's a particular sin that we can't shake. And for some of you, even as I mentioned that, it may pop in your mind immediately what that thing is, what that looks like in your life. And I want to tell you, I just want to speak this word over you, and there's hope in Jesus' name. Jesus has the power. We've been talking about it all day today. Jesus has the power to break that sin. He has the power to break that chain. He has the power to break addictions and to break habits. He has the power to do that. We need to trust him for that. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So I encourage you, one of the greatest things you can do is just run to Jesus. In fact, I believe getting deliverance over a problem is not just trying to shake the thing and focusing on the thing that you got to shake. It's focusing on the new thing. It's focusing on who Jesus is and running to him. And when we run to him, those things just fall off, because the devil don't hang around in God's presence. Amen. I mean, we get close to God. And some of those, and we turn around, next thing we know, those things have already melted away. The closer we get to God. In fact, the Bible puts it this way, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And it says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Come close to God. Get in a close relationship with him. Run after him. So we're running for the race that's set before us. Run towards God. So we see these influence killers, but I don't want to leave you there. I want to give you some steps, of how we can have unstoppable influence. Number one, and that is listen. Listen. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Sounds simple, but sometimes we don't do it. We got to listen to what he's called us to do. Here was Ananias. He was listening. He was like, I don't believe I'm hearing what I'm hearing. But he had to stop and had to be able to listen. And sometimes what we hear God tell us to do is not necessarily convenient. It's not necessarily pretty. fact, I was talking to my wife about, she was talking about how we want to fill our church with those people. And I said, yep. And I said, and ministry is not, it's not easy, and it's often messy. But it's necessary, because that's who God came to reach. He came to reach the lost. He came to reach you. He came to reach me. And so were we without the grace of God, right? But we got to be able to be listening and be willing. It's not always convenient, and it sometimes can be uncomfortable. Acts chapter 9, verse 10, look what it says here. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, and Ananias said, "Yes, Lord." He answered, "Yes, Lord." And we got to be able to do that. "Yes, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening to what you're telling me." And oftentimes, it's not that God's not speaking. It's just that we're not listening. We're not listening. We have selective hearing. Anybody know what selective? Any parents know what selective? Any spouses know what selective hearing is? You know, you're watching the football game. She's speaking to you while you're watching the football game. And you're acting like you're listening, but you're not really listening. And you're saying, "Yes, yes, dear, yes, dear." And she could be saying, "Can I have a new car? Yes, dear. Can I have some diamonds? Yes, dear. Can I go out on a spending spree right this afternoon? And, you know, can I have your credit card? Yes, dear." You don't know what you're saying yes to. She may remind you later. You know, I mean, it's selective hearing. I saw this great bumper sticker. I'll never forget it. And it said, "My wife says I don't listen to her," or something like that. I'm not sure what she said. Something like that. I think that's what she said. But oftentimes we're that way with God. Are we listening? Are we selective in our hearing? Do we hear what we want to hear? It's funny because you talk to some people that are seeking the will of God, and you wonder, are they really seeking the will of God, or are they seeking their will? Because, you know, you can manipulate and imagine all kind of things that God spoke to you if you really want to, you know? I mean, God, I want this, and is that your will? And he, "Oh, Lord, please let that be your will," you know. I mean, are we really listening to God and want His perfect will? Do we want truth? Are we willing to accept that truth and listen and hear what God has called us to do? John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me." You see, it isn't that God's not speaking, but are we listening? Are we tuned in? Are we more tuned in to a social media, or are we tuned into what God's saying? Are we tuned into what popularity around us is saying, or are we tuned in to what He's saying? Are we tuned into the pressures of a life and the voices that are around us screaming at us, or are we tuned in to Him? And I want to tell you, we've got to be tuned in to Him. That's why we're going to do 21 days of prayer coming up in August. We're going to be praying. We're going to seek God, and we want to get tuned in. We want to hear what He says to us, because look, we can go out and do a lot of things, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything unless, listen, we're following what He's called us to do. When we follow what He calls us to do, we're connected to what He's connected to. I want to tell you, we're going to see results. We'll see results in our life. We're going to be fulfilled as a person. We need to be listening to what God is saying to us. Number two, not only do we need to listen, but we need to trust. We need to trust. Look at Acts chapter 9. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias had great fear about this man and what God had called him to do. And you say, "This guy, this murderer is coming. You want me to go lay my hands on him and pray for him? And then he's going to know I'm a believer, and then he's going to kill me." But Ananias had to overcome this fear by trusting God, by trusting Him. We got to trust Him. You've heard me probably say it before. Of all the things that God speaks to me personally, it seems like it's this word trust. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. We've got to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 and 5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your feelings. I actually had a couple last evening here at the church that I did a wedding ceremony for them. And this is one of the things I talked to them about, was listening and also leaning. Lean on God, but lean on one another. but lean in. And I think sometimes we pull back and we just need to lean on God. And oftentimes we're leaning too much on what other people think. But we must trust Him with all of our heart. And all things are possible as we do that. Number three, and that is believe. Listen to Him, trust Him, and then believe. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. I believe that's what He's speaking to us today. Go. Go. He said, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. He said, I've sent you. Now go. Kind of reminds me of when God spoke to Moses, and Moses came up with every excuse in the book that he couldn't go. No, I don't. And after he ran out of excuses, he said, God, please send somebody else. But we need to have this another spirit that says, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. And to do that, we've got to believe Him. We've got to believe and step out. Regardless of what we know, Ananias knew some things, but he had to believe, had to trust, and then he had to believe what God had called him to do. So we need to believe and see beyond the exterior. He had to see beyond what he knew about Paul, and he had to see the need of his heart, and he had to believe that with God all things were possible. And I hope that, and I pray, this is my prayer, church, as a church, when people come into this place, and not only just into this place, but when you go into their place, and that you see them, and you might see that they're in an awful messed up condition, my hope is that we see beyond the exterior, and we see the need of the heart. And we don't fear their faces, but we love their heart. And we care enough to speak past that and speak into their heart. And don't let the exterior, don't let the facade, don't let the face fool you. But may God give us discernment and understanding and knowledge to be able to speak through that and reach out and touch their heart. Amen. Oh God, let us be a church that loves people when they come in. Let them not see a look on our face of dismay when they walk in and they don't look like us and we kind of give them that look. Have you ever gotten that look? Has anybody ever gotten that look? That look? I've gotten that look before. People look at you like, well, you just don't measure up. Please let us never be a church like that. Let us be a church that believes and trusts God and reaches out past that exterior and connects and shares the love of God and believes that all things are possible. Let me give you one other point, and that is this word, go. Go. And you can do all three of these others. You can listen, you can trust, you can believe, but if you don't go, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. Doesn't mean anything. We must go. Acts chapter 9 again. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, and I love that. Isn't that great? Brother Saul. He thought he was his enemy, but he said, you're my brother. Isn't that beautiful? I just let that settle in. Just let that sink in what he said. Brother Saul, may we have the opportunity to put some hands on some people, to be able to connect with some people, to high-five some people around here and say, brother and sister. You're my brother, you're my sister. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. Amen? And so he says, Brother Saul, look at it with me. The Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God sent us with a purpose. See their life filled with the power of God. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. Because of his willingness to listen, because of his willingness to trust, because of his willingness to believe God, because of his willingness to go, God used Ananias to make a difference in Saul, who became Paul, who then influenced the nations of that day, and even influencing the nations of our day. And nobody greater than Paul, and how God used him for the kingdom of God. And who has God called for us to reach out and touch? Who has God called us to reach out and make a difference in their lives? I believe that every one of us has been called for a purpose. And God's given us influence, an unstoppable influence on your job. Come on. In the marketplace where God sends you. And here, even in this place, as people come into this house to make a difference in their life. That's why today we're offering Dream Team 401. You can get on the team today. We can show you how. You just stay after church for just a little bit. Take about, won't even take an hour. Just, and we're going to feed you and take care of you. But if you've never been on the growth track, you can jump on it today. You can start right at 401, and we can just show you how you can make a difference and be on the team. Do something. I remember somebody preached a series one time titled, Do Something. And I would tell you, when you do something, when you connect with a small group, when you connect with a team, when you go out with others, and oftentimes God fulfills his purpose in you, not just by yourself, but in relationship with others, and make a difference. I want to tell you, that's when things get exciting. But prior to that, it's nothing but dead, stale religion, and it's a form. It's cold and doesn't mean much. But when you begin to move out, when you begin to go, when you begin to put into action, when you even take a step towards Jesus, he runs towards us. We connect with his power where all things are possible. And with him, we go out and we make a difference in the world. I'm excited about doing something for the kingdom of God. I don't know of anything more exciting than this past serve day we had. It's going out, man, connecting with people, meeting people, smiling, sharing the love of Jesus. I pray that, you know, I talked about when you come in this place, when we came in here this morning, I was saying, are you smiling? I was doing a little smile check. Guess what? We need to do a smile check in the mornings on Monday morning, not just Sunday morning. We need to do a smile check. We need to go into work with a smile, with the right attitude. Oh, I'm checking myself. I got a coworker here this morning, works with me on a secular job during the week. And I'm doing a check on myself. Well, we need to do some checkup. Are we life-giving? Are we sharing the love of Jesus? Are we making a difference? God, challenge us and help us to make a difference. Anybody want to make a difference today? Anybody want to make a difference? Let me just pray over us. Father, thank you for every person in this house. These are world changers. These are people that are set to make an eternal difference where you've placed them. It's a unique call and a unique purpose for every one of us. May we discover that and live it out. But there may be some of us that really can't put a smile on their face because they can't find much to smile about. Can't be world changers because their world is not what it should be. And that I'm speaking of is the condition of their heart, that it's just not what it should be. God, I pray, God, that they would encounter your life-changing power today. The life-changing love of Jesus, God, I pray would come in and make an eternal difference in their lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to trust him. I've heard what he said today. I've been listening. But now I need to trust him and I need to believe on him for myself. Before I can even make a difference in anybody else's life, I need a difference made in my life. And I need to accept him by faith. And you know today, you've been sitting here, you know God's been speaking to you, and you know that you need that change happening in you. You need that life change happening in your life. I'd love to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but I'd like to lead you in a prayer of commitment, of simply surrendering. And that's where it all begins. It's simply as coming to this place and saying, God, I'm going to trust you now. With my past, my present, my future, I'm just going to give you my life. If that's you today and you'd like to be led in a prayer like that, just in the privacy of where you're sitting with no one looking around, is how we're going to do this. But that's you today. I'd like to know who I'm connecting with. If that's you, would you have the courage and the boldness right now just to slip up a hand just so I can see who I'm connecting with as I pray this prayer, and you can slip it right back down. Just quickly right where you are, just slip up a hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, it may be that God bless you this morning. Anyone else? It may be that you've come to Christ before and you've given him everything, but you've taken it back again. And you know that you need to recommit. That's you. Just slip up a hand. Anyone else? Bless you today. Right where we're sitting. If you need to pray this prayer, even if you didn't even lift a hand today, and you need to pray this, just simply pray this prayer in your heart. It's not about the words. It's about you. You're making it your prayer, but I'm just going to help you with the words. But believe in your heart. And let me just help you with some of the words. Just pray something like this from your heart, right where you're seated. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. Today I choose to leave my past and follow you. I turn from my way to your way. I thank you for dying on the cross for all my sins. I thank you, God, for paying all that for me. By faith, I accept what you did as payment. And by faith, I accept you as the Lord of my life. I invite you to come live inside of me, change me, and use me to change others. God, thank you for your love, for loving me. God, I love you. And I declare today that you are my Lord and Savior. I receive you in faith, in Jesus' name.